lives, and you should not tell them that you're okay. You're okay being a C student. We're not empowering kids. We're feeling sorry for them. You know what people haven't asked these trans women athletes? What's it like to compete when you're having your menstrual cycle?
Welcome to another deep dive edition of the Chicks on the Right podcast. Very, very excited to have our new BFF with us today. Michelle Tafoya has joined us for our podcast today for a deep dive into all the latest and greatest political topics. But before we get into news of the day, Michelle, we wanted to give our audience a little bit of inside information, inside intel about you that they might not know, and have you describe, because you spent years, 20, 25, I think, as a sideline reporter, sports reporter, which I'm sure was amazing in all kinds of ways. But then you made the decision to leave that. And you are now in the world of, I won't say political punditry, but cultural slash political punditry, right?
Absolutely.
Tell us about that transition.
Well, it's been interesting, and I knew it would be. Look, I knew that leaving sports where everyone kind of likes you because you're talking about their teams and the athletes and there's nothing controversial, you know. But that was very limiting for me. Sunday Night Football was NBC's prized gem property. And so you didn't want to be the one to bring controversy to that show. And certainly they didn't want controversy associated with that show. Well, in this climate, you could say just about anything. Apparently now if I said aloha, that would be bad news. So so I felt really limited and I didn't want to be limited anymore. And I loved my job, but I had really done all that I could do there. I'd done five Super Bowls. I'd done, like you said, close to 30 years on the sidelines. I'd done five Olympic Games. It was a dream career. But I couldn't be fully, you know, alive. Fully me. I didn't want to say I couldn't be authentically myself, but you know, I couldn't just spout off on Twitter or whatever. And now I can, and it's liberating. And you know, the idea of behind the podcast is to just bring some saneness, I hope, some sanity back to the discourse. It's gotten absurd. Like we just referenced aloha and shalom and hola. USA Today is trying to tell us we can't use those.
Oh my God, it's crazy.
Because it's culturally appropriating. But they also say, unless your intent is good. Well, who the hell is going to know what your intent is? I mean, it is freaking absurd.
Yeah.
What's happening. And I had to be part of the conversation.
So I don't know how much you have been using this new product from GenuCell, which is now included in the most popular package as a free gift. The Microbiome Shield Moisturizer.
Every day.
I love that stuff.
I use it every day. Every single morning I use it. I love it so much. It's fantastic.
This uses probiotics, okay? The same kind of probiotics that you might find in yogurt, for example. They use probiotics to target redness, wrinkles, fine lines, patchy blotches, and any other visible signs of premature aging. And it feels so good on your skin.
Yep. It's like I use it as a morning moisturizer, and I really, every time I put it on, I can tell the difference. Like, it's like it's doing something. I don't know what it's doing, but it's doing something. It's doing something good. I can feel
it. Tell me something good. It is doing all those things.
Yeah, it does.
It is amazing. And I'm so glad that they're including it as a free gift in the most popular package, because you can still get a nice discount on the most popular package. And when you go to GenuCell.com/chicks and you order that most popular package, enter the code CHICKS at checkout. You're going to get an extra 10% off purchase.
So great.
It is, the most popular package has all the goods in it.
Everything.
Check it out. GenuCell.com/chicks.
Were people surprised that you leaned right when you, I mean, it's kind of like coming out of the closet, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's like when you work for that many years, because that was kind of like us when because we worked in corporate America for, you know, collective, God, like 40 years between the two of us. And so when we hid our identities, because we had this, we didn't have our podcast at the time, but we had our website and our business, our LLC. And then we also had full-time jobs. And so we were very hush hush about it because we didn't want people to find out that we were doing this on the down low, you know,
down
and then
low,
we finally came out of the, yeah. And then we came out of the closet like years later as concerned, but were people,
and how were you guys received? I mean, what happened with a bunch of your friends and colleagues?
Like they hated us, right? I mean,
that's not universally true.
No, it's not. But I mean, like a lot of people were like, we're done being friends here. We're done. I'm done. I can't be your friend anymore. Some people were like, that's fantastic. We're so excited for you. But then, but then like the schmucks were like, we can't be friends anymore. I can't be your family member anymore. So, I mean, that happens. I would imagine that probably happened to you. Maybe.
Yeah. Is it? Yeah, it did. And, but it's amazing because I think people, the instant they hear the word conservative, they immediately make a lot of assumptions that either A, aren't true, or B, are so radically unfair. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, so, you know, the fact that I don't want CRT being taught in elementary school made some people think I was a flat out racist white supremacist.
Right. And it's like, oh my gosh. And I saw your, I was looking back at your appearance, one of your appearances on The View when you guys were talking about specific topic.
Yeah.
How did you have multiple appearances on that show?
How did you do that?
And not punch people?
Trust me, it took every ounce of energy I had to remain present and calm. Recently, Prince Harry was on with Stephen Colbert, and the whole crowd was going, Harry, Harry. And someone said, look, America loves Harry. No, Stephen Colbert's audience loves Harry. And they were probably coached to do that by the person that warms up the crowd before the talent comes out. So don't assume that Stephen Colbert's audience represents America. I would say very similar thing about The View. The audience there, the live audience, is very specifically aligned with everyone on The View. And, you know, they had me there to see if I was a fit for their conservative voice. All I can say is I felt disappointed because there was this one point we talked about China and the slavery in China. And I'm not going to name names here because I feel kind of bad, but one of the hosts turned to another one and said, there's slavery in China? Is that true?
Oh my gosh.
And I thought, okay, this is common knowledge.
Right.
And if you're that unaware of it, what else are you unaware of?
Right.
And what are you not paying attention to? And what are you solely surrounding yourself in?
Mm-hmm.
And so it was, that part of it was disappointing to me.
And also eye-opening.
How many times have you been on there? Because you were on there a couple times.
Yeah, I did two stints, 2 days each, one during the football season, one after the football season. And yeah, I think the one time I really wanted to punch myself was Chelsea Clinton was a guest on one time. And my question to her was scripted to be, here's what's going wrong. There's inflation. Gas prices are through the roof. Biden's not very popular. What are you most concerned about with the midterms coming up? And that's what I asked. And she said, you know, I'm most concerned that everybody can vote, that everybody has access to the polling place.
Oh my God.
And I just sat there and of course the crowd applauded and everyone's
nodding.
Oh
my gosh.
And all I wanted to say was, really, what's been your experience? Do you know people that have been denied a vote in this country?
Right.
But I didn't. I let her go. And I knew that if I pushed back, what the audience response was going to be, what the rest of the table was going to do to me. I just knew. And it was my last day there that week. And I thought, do I really want to put myself through this right now? And so I didn't push back. And I beat myself up for days for not pushing back on that.
Yeah. But you were the sole voice of reason, though.
Well,
and, like, I'm sure you're not alone.
But the entire place thinks I'm the voice of villainy. You know, I'm the villain. I'm just evil and I'm racist and all the other things.
That's such insight, though, into how so many people in your seat have felt in that seat.
Yeah.
That as a conservative woman, like all the people are like, do I really want to fight? I'm so tired.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the women that have sat in that seat for more than 2 or 3 days and they're just like, oh God, I have to do this another day.
It's frustrating because it's not an open-minded civil discussion.
No. Right.
And so I would have much rather been, you know, it was so like we make declarations and you accept them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's, I don't see how that works.
Yeah. We always say it's like a hornet's nest.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would rather, we've always said that I would hate to go on that show. So I commend you. Because it just,
for real.
It just sounds awful. It just does. Does not sound like fun at all. So bravo to you. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I appreciated them having me. I will say that they, mm-hmm. you know, and they welcomed me back many times. I had to decline any further visits there. And again, I think I would be lying if I said I wanted to go back and have this kind of discourse again, because it's not, there's no balance and there's no,
right.
At least when I went on Bill Maher's show, and it was even handed, and the audience was, you could tell it was balanced the way they responded to Paul Begala and the way they responded to me and the way they responded to Bill Maher. And it was a lot more just a cross section of independent thinkers.
You can see that
he's more balanced. I mean, yes.
I think he is more balanced. Yeah.
He's a classical liberal. Like he's not a crazy woke leftist. He's a classical liberal. But you've got your podcast, you've got your Substack. And one of the things that you told us in our interview on your show is that you had written a letter, an open letter to Donald Trump asking him to not run some months ago.
Yeah.
And so I was so curious about that after you told us about it. I had to go and read it. And I loved, you came up with this term that I thought was so perfect that describes him and what, and sort of the environment he creates, which is constructive chaos, and why that was effective the first time around, but might not be the second.
Yeah.
And so I thought, maybe can you give our listeners a little bit more intel about what prompted you to write that letter? If you know if he ever saw it.
I don't know if he ever saw it. I do know that a friend of mine is associated with a bundler of his, a fundraising person, and said, here, take this and show it to Mr. Trump. I don't know if it ever got there. I highly doubt he would have read it. He probably wouldn't have got past the first sentence. And that's why I said, yeah, you want to call me a loser and all that, and that's fine. And but what I mean by it was the first go round. We didn't really know what we were getting. I mean, we knew a lot. He was quite just, he spewed whatever he thought. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of Americans that voted for him thought, gosh, finally, someone's not afraid to stand up to these people bullying us about our language, about our opinions, about what we are, you know, how we think. And he made some really good policy. He made some, he implemented some terrific policy. The economy was booming. And until COVID hit, things were honestly, you know, the Abraham Accords, the border was settling down. It's just now I think it's with Biden in office, it's so much worse than I ever thought it could be. Mm-hmm. Like I kind of had a feeling he was going to win. And I was like, okay, I'll live with this. It has been a freaking mess.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know how to describe. The world is up. It's like we just turned inside out and exploded. And so then I thought, this is not going to be good if Trump runs again. And I think also I saw Ron DeSantis just win the midterms, although this was that happened after I wrote the letter. But I just thought the pendulum's been swinging like this. Can't we find somewhere in the middle? And that is, I don't think that's President Trump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is. And then just curious, did you get a lot of backlash for that letter?
Far more support than I got backlash.
Okay, that's good.
Far more support than backlash. Now, there were a couple of people that wrote me just scathing letters.
I'm
but
sure.
That's to be expected. And mm-hmm. that's fine. They're entitled to that. Right. But I think, I mean, I was amazed at how my Substack grew from that particular writing. Just it exploded. So I was grateful for that. And I mostly had really positive feedback.
That's great
to
hear.
What do you say back to the people that say, well, Trump's the only one that's not deep state. He's the only one that knows that he's not a politician. And besides, anybody else who tries to, you know, run in the primary is just going to get hammered by the press and they're going to take him down just like they did Trump. How do you respond to that? Because that's what we get a lot in our podcast.
And, you know, that's the fear, right, is that whoever runs against him, first of all, Trump's just going to go after him. But I think now, like that first 2016, people that were running against him didn't realize exactly what they were getting into.
Right, right.
Now I think everybody knows, and you can, it's like when you see a football team come on the field under a brand new head coach for the first time, and you go, wow, look what they're doing. Oh my God, that trick play. We weren't expecting that. And they run all over you. The next time you play them, you're more prepared. You've done your research. You know what you're signing up for and what you're getting into. Mm-hmm. And so I think that now other candidates would throw on some Teflon, grow a spine, and say, I can handle this, and I don't care what nickname he comes up with for me. I'm not going to let it affect me. And I think someone like Ron DeSantis is particularly well positioned there because clearly he's taken a lot of incoming as the governor of Florida. Yeah. A lot. And, you know, the name calling, and it hasn't intimidated him one iota.
And he just doesn't respond, which I love. He just ignores it.
Yes. I think he has a lot of similar qualities of Trump without, I tread lightly here, without some of the bad qualities, if that makes sense.
The baggage, let's just call it baggage. Right. You know, and you can imagine for yourself whatever that baggage looks like. But
exactly.
You know, we have it. We've just... And I just think, too, if Trump runs again, the January 6th thing will just explode all over again. And it's like, oh, gosh.
Yeah.
I mean,
the
things that have come out of that are, you know, some of it is really disturbing and some of it is really disturbing in that people are being accused of stuff just because they were standing there. Mm-hmm. So, I that whole investigation is not good for America.
Yeah, it's just the three ladies talking. I love this chit chat with Michelle, the three ladies. You know what every lady needs? A good boning. A good boning. That's what every lady.
We better explain what we mean by that.
Well, I mean, I think it's self-explanatory, don't you? My favorite things in the whole world are a good boning and then a good boning with Bone Frog coffee. Those are my two favorite things in the whole world. Really, really, I love coffee and I love a good boning with Bone Frog
coffee.
And
when the two of them are together.
Together, it's like, I mean, it's what else do you need in life, really? What else do
you don't
need?
Anything else.
Nothing else. Yeah, Bone Frog coffee, you guys, the best coffee on the planet. We have been working with these guys. And I am a coffee snob. When we were trying to figure out who are we going to get as a coffee sponsor, we couldn't just have anybody.
No.
Bone Frog, it had to be coffee that was the best coffee on the planet. This is the best coffee on the planet. Hands down.
And it's weird, isn't it, that like Democrats are fighting releasing all of the tapes from January 6th while Republicans are like, we want to show all 14,000 hours that haven't been shown yet. And Democrats are like, no.
Why would
they want to hide anything?
I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't know.
I think it was just,
I don't know. There's a lot of double standards.
With everything. There's double standards when it comes to Republicans and Democrats everywhere. I just think that so many of us are ready for a fresh start. It's like, you know.
Right. That's a really good way of stating it. Like,
we need air to breathe. It's like dating an old boyfriend. We don't need to date the old boyfriend.
We need
a new guy and it's time. Yeah. We need a fresh start. And we're all ready for that. We're so ready.
Yep. Yeah, and I think DeSantis's performance, if you look at the first time he won in Florida versus this time and how he's been able to flip Miami-Dade County, that's amazing. So he's got results. He's got a track record. He's done things right. And the people that are upset with him are the ones that think that there is such thing as a don't say gay bill, which is
not even a thing.
Not even a thing.
Yeah. So do you want me to, cause we can talk a little bit about, cause I'm very interested in a particular avenue that I think that you would have a lot to say about, Michelle. And that is, transgenders in sport, transgenders in sports.
Yeah.
I have a daughter who's a competitive swimmer. She's really good. And she's 12. And, you know, I think to myself, she could work for the next, you know, 6 years, five, 6 years, work her butt off. She's been doing it since she was seven. And who's to say that she is in line for a college scholarship and some biological boy comes in and wrecks that chance for her? This is what I think as a mom. I think this now, because as a swimmer, this could potentially happen to her.
Yeah, it could.
And it's terrifying to me.
It's so unfair.
Yeah.
You know what people haven't asked these trans women athletes? What's it like to compete when you're having your menstrual cycle?
Yeah. It's exactly. Great question.
None of them have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas
they're starting to think that they can. I'm sorry.
That's
sorry
okay.
about
I've
my
got
dogs.
One too.
Oh my God.
I know they're starting to think that they can menstruate. Well, you see, it's upsetting to the dog as well.
It is upsetting
to
the
dogs. Super upset.
Sorry.
No, don't apologize. I have one too, and I'm just bracing for when he starts. But, you know, I recently saw a story about a trans male, a woman who underwent the double mastectomy and wanted to compete on a men's swimming team.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe one of the differences was that, well, she's not really that competitive with them,
mm-hmm.
but I'm sorry, he, and he has said, I'm finding other ways to enjoy this experience. I cheer them on. I have relationships with people.
Yeah.
Is it possible that that trans male could take a spot away from a male? I suppose it's possible. Or you could say, oh, you picked a swimmer who's faster than me, but that's discrimination just because I'm trans.
Right.
So I think this is it's getting conflated with being homophobic or transphobic.
Right.
This has nothing to do with how you feel about these people as people.
Exactly.
What this has to do with is fairness. And
yep.
when you are born either with an X chromosome or no X chromosome, right? That's the way it is, right? You're two Ys.
You have X no matter what. But
you
have
X no matter what.
So
it's the Y.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm not a scientist. I admit it. So it's the Y chromosome. I mean,
mm-hmm.
to me, that's the very nut of science. You're born, no pun intended, but
right.
you're born.
Or maybe. Yeah.
Or maybe.
Or maybe.
But you're born this way and you develop accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
And to suggest that if you decide you want to identify as a different gender or a different sex and that makes you that sex, I just don't see it's not rational.
Yeah,
no,
but
it's not fair.
You still have a biological advantage. If you are born as a biological male, you have a biological yeah. advantage over my daughter in the water. Yeah. If you were a competitive swimmer, I mean, that's the bottom line. And so that is what is really disturbing to me, because there are 16 spots. Say there are 16 spots to go, you know, to this competition. Can you imagine being that 16th girl who was bumped out by that biological male when you've worked for all these years? I mean, these girls work
with that
7-8 years.
Yeah.
They work and work and work. And all the time and the energy. And like we were just gone all weekend in Oklahoma. I live in Texas. We were gone all weekend in Oklahoma for a meet. I mean, it's like we put a lot of money and time and effort, and these girls put so much work in. And I just, and so as a parent of an athlete, I just think it would, It's not just heartbreaking. It is. It's completely unfair. And I think a lot of people who don't have children that are in these sports, they don't realize the pain that these girls go through and what's being taken away. And feminists are silent on this.
Yeah.
Or they're cheering the Leah Thomases of the world on.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is absurd.
Which
absurd.
Which is. I mean, why did we have Title IX to begin with?
Exactly.
What was that all about? Now that we've got all these great female athletes, suddenly now it's not. You're gonna make it unfair again.
Yeah.
It's just
it makes no sense.
Mind. It doesn't. And there's a group out there called ICONS and ICONS. It's a group, and it really was started by women who are swimmers. I think in response to this Leah Thomas thing, and they're gaining ground with other sports, and they are pleading with college presidents and athletic directors and the NCAA to please reconsider what they're doing. That group exists, and you know, I support them because they know better than I do. I never compete in athletics. My daughter does. And like you, I would be, if she didn't get a place on one of her teams because a trans female did,
right,
who was taller and stronger, and I would be
a guy.
I'd be furious.
Biological dude. Yeah.
I'd be furious. Yeah. I'd be absolutely furious. And I don't know what I'd be able to tell her. How do you explain that? When it's just so patently unfair.
Especially when you've been telling your daughter her whole life, if you put your mind to it, if you work hard, you put 125% into this every day, you can do whatever your heart desires, you know, and you just work hard. And then they get there and they get that shot and they're beat out by a biological male. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah, and it's just not okay. Plain unfair. And anyone who doesn't see it as unfair, I mean, even Caitlyn Jenner says it's unfair.
You're right.
You know?
Right.
How you can't see that, or you just choose to look at it as, oh, you're transphobic, you're mean to these people.
Not true.
If you like, let's create a category for trans athletes to compete, because, you know, maybe that's the way of the future.
Perhaps.
That would be more fair. That would be more fair.
It would be.
And, you know, but like merit and fairness in this country are being redefined every moment.
You're absolutely right. Yeah.
It's getting to the point, you're hearing about those colleges that withheld information about national merit scholars.
Oh, the high schools in Virginia.
I mean, what in the world is going on? All in the name of equity. And it's all it's doing is just creating like a whole bunch of equal adequacy instead of encouraging people to shoot for excellence. It's like, why don't we just have a lot of mediocrity across the board? And that I will never understand that, why people would want to lower the standards for everybody by not allowing the cream of the crop to rise. It just doesn't make any sense to
me. It doesn't make sense to me either. And I try to put those glasses on and see it. And all I can come up with is that they feel these emotions that they feel. Oh, this poor kid, he's not keeping up. He's not ever going to. That poor kid could end up being something really great in another avenue of life. Why don't you, instead of saying, don't tell anyone, because we don't want him to feel bad that he didn't get National Merit Scholar. Why don't you invest more in this kid? Find out what he can do or she can do.
Yes.
And empower that. Instead of just softening everything, and like you said, this acceptance of mediocre at expense of merit is going to be the end of us. I mean, this can't go on. I also think what you're telling these kids that you feel sorry for is that they don't have any power to do other things in their lives.
Yep.
That if they are not a National Merit Scholar, they're somehow a failure. That is not true. And if you think that about that kid, that they're failing because they didn't reach the peak, you have no idea what they're going to do with the rest of their lives. And you should not tell them that you're okay. You're okay being a C student. You should just, we're not empowering kids. We're feeling sorry for them.
Yeah. And worse, we're telling them that they're oppressed and that they're victims all the time. Instead of telling them, here are all the things that you can be empowered to do. Here's what you're capable of.
Right.
No, you're oppressed. And therefore, you're only going to reach this level because of the mean white man. I mean, it's nuts now what's happening in schools.
It's crazy.
And I've always felt like in my life, I learned more. I think this is such a cliche too, probably to so many people, but I really have learned more by my failures than I have by my successes.
Absolutely.
So you have to let your kid lose.
Yeah,
you got to let kids lose and suck a little bit before they can go, wow, this is great. I'm winning at this. And this feels great to win. They can't win all the time. They got to lose sometimes. You know, that's just part of life.
You have to experience it to know how bad you want to win.
Right.
You know, it helps you understand that. And, you know, you're totally correct in that we aren't. We're just turning kids into pajama wearing, go curl up in your bed with your device, your phone, your whatever, and watch TikTok and feel good about yourself and be safe. Be safe in your room, in your little safe space, instead of go out and find out what you're made of. Don't you want to know what you're made of? Don't you want to know what you can do, what you're capable of? That to me is liberation.
Totally.
That's what empowerment looks like.
Yes.
Totally. Right, I love that. I love it.
So I love talking to Michelle. She's always so great.
She really is.
Mm-hmm. I have to wonder, though, because we've never asked her if she uses MyPillow products. And that would be a good question for her, because if she's not, then what is she doing with her life?
She looks well rested, though. Like, she always looks bright eyed and bushy tailed. I feel like, if anything, she has at least a MyPillow pillow in her life.
I bet you're right. Don't you think?
Yeah,
I would hope so. I would hope so.
I think so.
But if she has not experienced the amazingness of all the other bedding products from MyPillow, and I'm talking blankets, I'm talking comforters, I'm talking mattress pads, all of the things that make sleep wonderful, especially their Giza Dream Sheets. Oh my God. There's nothing better than sleeping on those. And that is what they have a huge, huge sale on right now at mypillow.com/chicks. For example, Giza sheets for a twin bed, less than $30
right now. Oh my gosh, it's such a deal. It's such a huge discount. Your bed should be your oasis. I mean, you spend like most of your life there. Let's get real.
Yeah.
Seriously. So like, go to MyPillow and get your stuff. And then use our discount and make your oasis. And
make
then you
it.
Can, then you can, and you can think of the chicks when you're laying in bed and you can thank us later.
That's right. MyPillow.com/chicks. Use code chicks at checkout for the best discounts. Now, Michelle, before we let you go, one more question, because, of course, it is the top story that is happening in the news right now is the classified documents that were found all over Biden's homes everywhere and like in the glove box of his Corvette and God knows where else. So what is your take on the different messaging that we're hearing about that story versus Trump and Mar-a-Lago and the documents found there?
It's incredible the difference between the way the media is handling this and the way that the DOJ is handling it. You send armed forces basically down to Mar-a-Lago when Trump's not even there, and you go through everything, and it's this huge spectacle, and it's, you know, oh my gosh, this is a crime scene. And with Biden, it's like, oh, but see, again, someone on The View said, well, we know Trump is a liar and a thief, so we don't trust him. We automatically assume the worst. But we know that Biden is not a liar and a thief, which, again,
oh my gosh,
all he does is lie.
Seriously, it's pathologically incredible.
Yeah. So we give him the benefit of the doubt. No, see, that's what is the reason for the law, is that you don't just give someone the benefit of the doubt because they show up to court in a tie and look really good. And then don't give someone the benefit of the doubt because they show up in sneakers and they, you know, haven't been to the dentist.
Right.
That's not what it's about. It's about who, what's legal, what's not legal. Mm-hmm. But we've thrown that out the window, too. Just take a look at the border.
Right.
Oh, you're so right. Well, now you're going to hear all the new narrative is going to be all around inadvertently misplacing documents or the one that we talked about in our show. Yeah. The one that we talked about in our show this morning. It was just inadvertent commingling of documents.
Yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And like they grab it, like MSNBC and CNN will grab that phrase and they're like, OK, everybody use that phrase and go.
And go.
Isn't that amazing?
It's crazy.
The talking points spread like wildfire and they just, it's like, this is truth. This is the bedrock of this story. It's like,
it's nuts.
Whoa.
And we see it. We all see it.
We all see it.
Yeah,
well, that's the thing, I just wonder how many people just prefer being sort of lied to and thinking that's not my problem.
They're sheep.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. They like being sheep, led to slaughter. No, thank you.
Yeah. Well, Michelle, we could always just talk to you for hours. We're going to have you back and make this a regular thing because it's always great to talk to you.
Likewise.
Thank you so much. People can find you on, tell all the places that people can find you.
Subscribe. I'm told you got to say subscribe. Subscribe. You can find Sideline Sanity on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, on the Salem Podcast Network, wherever you get your podcasts. We are there. So subscribe.
Yes, it's been a joy. Thank you, Michelle.
Yes, thank you guys so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.